The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by rosterwatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, joined by Cody Carpentier as we continue breaking down these Senior Bowl prospects at the wide receiver position. Man, pumped to be getting into prospect season here, and so happy to have all you guys following along. We're going to have plenty of profiles. But Cody, I looked at the admin over at Roster Watch, man. You got a bunch of these things already piled up. Expect that stuff to continue coming and getting the industry-leading intelligence here from the NFL draft side of the rookies and the prospects for fantasy football, dynasty, best ball that you've come to expect from us, from your boys here at Roster Watch. And certainly thankful to have Cody along for the ride this year in official capacity with us. Cody, today, Malachi Corley, Western Kentucky, and Anias Smith, Texas A&M. What the hell's going on with you, brother?
Not too much, man. Late night flight, got back to Minnesota, so I sat down. I see the storm ready to come in. You guys got snow right now, don't you? You got this big vortex thing coming through?
Oh, it's coming. Apparently it's coming, man. People are starting to freak out. My wife is freaking out a little bit. After I do the Longhorn show later, I got to go, she wants me to stock up on water and stuff like that. So yeah,
I was getting ready to start driving back to Virginia. I flew in from Salt Lake. I was getting ready to drive out to Virginia. And I was like, either we leave now or we wait till Thursday. And I think we're going to wait till Thursday. So yeah. Anyway, I'm ready. I'm ready to talk some football.
All right. Do you want to go first with Malachi Corley? It's just like usual. I did most of my, we assign our guys. I did most of my work on Anias Smith. Man, yep. I like these two guys. I'll just say for me, what I notice about Corley whenever I watch him is the thing that I think that everybody's going to notice whenever they watch him. And that's the fact that it's a dude who – I think both these guys today are sort of like the BMI, the kind of tough running, tough to take down, kind of, alpha mentality, but with the ball in their hands type of receivers. And for me, Corley, just the one thing is, if you go back and just don't just watch the highlights, but we kind of watch the game by game stuff. It's amazing. Just the thing that I like and something that I always like out of these prospects is whenever you watch one of the football games and the announcers call their name, literally, it feels like it's every other play. I mean, he was the alpha on his offense. I don't know if does the market, I didn't even look at the market share. And so the market share stuff even says it too, it's definitely very, very productive within the context of that offense and somebody who you could definitely see take over football games. But I'd be interested to hear what you think just from your overall assessment and your evaluation on him.
I watched a little bit of Corley during the season, but after finally getting to sit down and actually watch him, I'm a big fan, but I'm not as big of a fan as I thought I was going to be when I got done with my final assessment. He comes in about 5'11", about 200 pounds unofficial. He's 22 years old. My projected 40, I have him for 4.42, which is pretty solid for him. Looking at about a fourth round grade, he did break out during his redshirt freshman season at Western Kentucky, playing with a handful of guys that are currently, on the brink of making it onto NFL rosters, like Jareth Stearns. He played with Bailey Zappi that year. Daywood Davis, Mitchell Tinsley, guy that transferred to Penn State. He was recruited out of Campbellsville as a 167-pound cornerback, and he's now anywhere between 200 and 210 is kind of where people are seeing him at. He's only offered by Austin Peay, Eastern Kentucky, Murray State. He chose to go to Western Kentucky, just an hour from his hometown. Again, played with Bailey Zappi that one year when Zappi threw for nearly 6,000 receiving yards. He had a couple opportunities against Power 5 schools, total 88 yards and a touchdown against Ohio State, 12 catches, 93, and a touchdown against Auburn, had 70-plus yards twice against Indiana during his time there. He's gained, it looks like between that, we don't have official weights on him right now, but again, if he came in at 167 pounds, he's currently looking at 200 to 210.
He came in at 167?
167 is what he was recruited as.
He doesn't look high school. Like he put on bad weight. I mean, he doesn't look like that bad weight he's put on.
Yeah, and so it looks like he's put on between 30 and 40 pounds of mass during his time at Western Kentucky.
That's a ton,
but again, it's some of these.
You remember, like a defensive tackle. Like
everybody's went to school with these guys that are, you know, puny guys, maybe 5'6", 5'7", 160 pounds, and then this guy just happened to be an athlete going to a program, workout, and you know things click sometimes. But he put that weight on, and he's become a literal yak monster, finished with 8.6 yards after catch per reception this year. Over the last 3 years, he's amassed 2,056 total yards after catch, which, Alex, if I just asked you, you know, what's a good number for a receiver to have in a four-year career in college for receiving yards, 2,000 is a pretty solid number. This guy has over 2,000 just in yak. So I'm extremely impressed by his explosion, his breakaway. He's got excellent core strength and contact balance, I think. He's rarely ever tackled by that first defender. And like I said, he's a self-proclaimed Yak King. Go to his bio on Twitter right now. It says the Yak King. That's kind of what he sees himself as. Finished fifth in all of the FBS last year with 683 yards after the catch just last season. I think his vision, his quickness after the catch are impeccable. And they're similar to a lot of these players that you see in the NFL, like the Deebo Samuels, where it's not just catch the ball, run into a guy, break a tackle. He's visualizing the openings downfield, kind of like a running back does when he finds a hole in the offensive line. He's a two-time All-Conference USA first team. But the cons, I do think it's kind of a limited route tree. A lot of the work is coming from behind the line of scrimmage with occasional crossers, deep crossers, things of that nature. He struggles mightily in the contested catch region, but it's unlikely like that he's going to be utilized like that. They're not going to use him like a Mike Evans downfield. They're going to be using him closer to the line of scrimmage where he excels. 92% of the snaps he's had during college have come from the slot. So he's entirely a slot player at the next level. His average depth of target has dropped from 7.8 in his freshman year down to 5.5 ADOT this past season. So sometimes he leans on body catches, but he does have the ability to frame a football and catch it properly. I do think he's a slight lower quarter, but he's kind of elastic, kind of like a Tyreek Hill kind of in the tackle breaking market. I don't want to compare him to Tyreek Hill by any means, but that lower body, almost like a bounce off of players or ability. The thing that's different about Tyreek for me is always watching him run. It looks like he's got rubber for ligaments. Like he just can bend around guys at full speed. And like, there's a little titch of that in Corley. So
it's less of a shed and more of just a bounce.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So from a fantasy outlook, really what I came down to, my player comp from a play style comparison is Golden Tate, which I think is pretty high praise. Again, it's tough to always give guys these top comps, but the play style kind of goes around that Golden Tate, Curtis Samuel type of a deal. Again, I mentioned Tyreek Hill before. I don't want to comp anybody ever to Tyreek Hill, but because Tyreek Hill is the most dynamic player in football. But I think that some of those tendencies are in his body shape and his play style. His likely outcomes for his range from Bo Melton, who we saw go to Seattle, end up on the practice squad, get cut. Now he's a Packer. He made it through. That's a low end range of outcome for Malachi Corley, all the way up to a Tyreek Light, where, you know, he's going to be used around the line of scrimmage. And if he goes to an offense that is just going to pepper him and utilize him and allow him to win in ways that he can win, like if he goes to San Francisco and he gets to sit behind Deebo, for example, and learn that offense with a guy like Kyle Shanahan that can teach you, my expectation of Malachi Corley is
because you know what a perfect team fit. Because if he's Yak King.
Yeah, just a Yak King slot dominant, and like that would just make so much sense to me. So I think he has the ability to go into an offense day one and kind of do similar to what Curtis Samuel did his second year in Carolina, go for 480, 500 yards. The expectations can't be sky high year in, but
he and his fat is Curtis Samuel.
No, but the thing is, I did have him about that 4.42, 4.45 area. I don't think he's a 4.3 guy by any means, or Tyreek area, or Curtis Samuel. Those guys are 4.3s for sure. But I did have him about 4.42, 4.44. Again, comp, Golden Tate, and then my draft grade's about round four.
Round four for him. So that is Malachi Corley, Western Kentucky. He'll be at the Senior Bowl, and you'll be hearing plenty more from us. As always, man, like I always say when we do these prospecting shows, this stuff is all just make sure you're keeping up with us here on the podcast, and make sure you're keeping up with us here on Roster Watch, just because our thoughts on some of these guys is we don't spend the money and use the resources and use the basically the ability that you guys who are subscribers give us to be able to do this. We don't take it lightly. So when we go to research these dudes, we go see them live and we talk to people and all the rest. So just make sure as our thoughts evolve on this, this is more of a primer than anything else. Okay. So I wanted to say that before I talk about this next guy, Anais Smith, because I feel like there's a lot of ways this guy could go. He's a good player, man. Out of Texas A&M. He's listed 5'10", 200 pounds. I think that looks probably about right. And it's interesting that these two players are the two that we got here on this same broadcast, because they remind me, they remind me a good bit of each other. A couple of different things. Courtney Logan, so good to see you. Second year member of the nation. I won 2 champions last year.
Love to hear it.
Thank you so much, man. It's been so cool getting the emails from you guys. I know, Cody, you've been copied on some of these, man. It's been cool this last week or so hearing about all of your championships and stuff. And we can't thank you enough for being members of Roster Watch Nation. But this is where it starts, right? we got to learn who the rookies are. We got to figure out the landscape of the NFL draft, because it pertains not only to these prospects and where they go and their eventual NFL team fits, but also how people are going to be valuing certain players in free agency and like how is the rookie pool looking and stuff like this. So it's the bedrock for a lot of it. So thank you guys so much.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, so Anais Smith, 5'10", 200. He's going to be 23 in the 2024 season. He'll turn 23 he's a Labor Day, or wait, is that Labor Day or Memorial Day?
That's Memorial. Memorial's man.
He's a Memorial Day kind of baby. May 31st of 01. He broke out early in 2020 as a sophomore. And what I thought was interesting, that was as a true sophomore in the SEC. He broke out on an A&M team that had lots of future NFL talent. Like Isaiah Spiller was on that team. Devon Achane was a freshman on that team. The Jalen Weidermeyer, we hated him in the draft, but he was a dude who was a good, after he ran the 5.0, what did he run?
That was the guy that Dallas News picked up my interview with him, because I asked him a question. He compared himself to Hernandez and like Antonio Gates and stuff like that. And then he went out and ran like a 4.82 or something.
So I thought it might have been post 5+. What
5.0? Maybe. I think you're right. It might have been a 5.0.
Yeah. It was something that was like basically disqualifying. Right. But dude, that team has some talent. And the interesting thing is that breakout, it came from this dude kind of being a running back. He was listed as a running back for a long time. He's a versatile all around weapon with the versatility to help an offense in numerous ways. You could tell it. He's really, really good with the ball in his hands. He's not the tallest, but he's sturdy with good body mass index. I saw Cody in the sheet. You compared him to like a Lynn Bowden Jr. I think that that's a really good comparison. It goes along with my comparisons that I have for him too. Mine were Amari Rodgers and Demetric Felton were two guys that I thought and a little bit of a dash of Achane. Like he's got a little bit of Achane to him, bigger almost, but he's got a little bit of that to him just because he's got the great lateral agility, the ability to navigate through traffic with those jump cuts and those little laterally bursty moves, not as fast as an Achane. That's why I think that Amari Rodgers Amari Rodgers was the one that really popped off to me. And he was a dude who I was super high on as a prospect who's been very, very ineffective at the NFL level, but a dude who does have that sort of, just that super sure handedness. He only had one drop last year. If you look at PFF, really good at addressing the football, framing the football, not a total speed burner. Another dude who he's not as much totally. He went 92% of his snaps out of the slot like Corley was. But when you look at Anaya Smith, this last year it's like 72% of his snaps out of the slot, and that just comes. When you watch back the games, I can't think of any that I saw him lined up out wide. He just lines up in the backfield a bunch and stuff like this, right? He's a dude who they want to get the ball in his hands. And while he's not the most I wouldn't call him at this point a polished route runner as a wide receiver, but we've seen, as in the case with Isaiah Spiller, he went a lot earlier than a lot of us thought that he would go because scouts love the routes that Jimbo Fisher's running backs run. We've heard numerous scouts tell us that. They say, the way that he uses his running backs in the passing game, those are NFL concepts. Those are NFL things that they're doing. So at the very least, we know that Anaya Smith is really good at that kind of stuff. He's good on these wheel routes, good on these Texas routes, the option routes, stuff like this. I think a lot of that comes from his ability just to move in space. Like I said, the lateral agility, the change of direction stuff, the jump cuts, the pivots, and the fact, man, it's like he's got a running back's mindset as a ball carrier, mm-hmm. and a lot of lower body strength. He's not afraid of contact. He's fearless over the middle, and he's fast enough to be dangerous. He's not a total burner. He's not a total burner, but he has more than enough requisite speed to be able to be dangerous. What were you gonna ask, Cody?
I was just going to say, like, that's one of the notes I have written down for my thing is I want to ask you how fast you thought he was going to be.
I think he's a 4.48 is what I projected. Is that what you have?
A 4.48-4.50 guy.
Yeah. When I was looking into it, you can look at some of it. He had some good, I think he was at the opening or one of these out of high school, and he ran a 4.51 laser there. So, and I think he's faster now. The one thing was, is that the one thing was he did have a season-ending leg fracture in 2022. So you always wonder if that kind of saps a little bit of the burst. I think he looked fine this year. This was the best year he's looked as far as being a pure wide receiver. Not a huge year. And what really dragged down his production score was he only got in the box twice, I think, for two receiving touchdowns. So that makes it look a little bit worse. And I mean, there's a couple things about his profile that you don't love. He has short arms. He like not a good catch radius, like Corley, not contested catch guy. He just did. If you look at PFF, he's got like a sub 50% contested catch rate. So like, that's not the way he's going to hurt you. He's going to test well in the three cone, the short shuttle, all that stuff. And with those abilities, with those traits, I think that he's going to be fine as a route runner, but I would not call him as far as a receiver right now out of the slot. I would not call him any kind of technician at this point. You just wonder, it's like, what is his position in the NFL? Like, might he be just a gadget guy? Anaya Smith out of Texas A&M. Like, could that sort of be where he ends up? Because could he be sort of a jack of all trades, master of none type of player? And could he be better at running back? I mean, if he weighs 200 pounds, he moves like that. He's just really, really good navigating through traffic. You just wonder, for fantasy, might it be something where a coaching staff says like, well, we just get Anaya in here. Like, so this is a really random thing to say, but like how the Panthers have been using Amir Smith-Marset or something like that recently, you know what I mean? Just get him on end arounds, get the ball in his hands, jet sweeps, stuff like this. But is he going to be a consistent mainstay because what he's going to need to be is a consistent mainstay is like a satellite type of back because he's got really good hands. Like I said, only one drop. I mean, he could be a terrific asset for you like that. A really, really rich man's Demetric Felton. I think ultimately you just wanted to like hone his craft as a slot wide receiver. And I couldn't compare him to Curtis Samuel because he's not as fast, but I mean, that was another guy that I kind of thought about that. Maybe this dude could be a little bit like a Curtis Samuel. So, a 3-star class of 2019, good early breakout age. He probably would have come out after after the 2022 season, had he not broke his leg. So, I mean, we're talking about a definite asset here. I don't do the draft projections like you do, Cody, but I would say that with good testing and a good week at the Senior Bowl, which I think he'll probably have. He looks like a guy who could go in round three to me, round three, maybe round four. And yeah. That's always a, as far as draft capital goes for Dynasty, of course, that's always a kind of a dangerous precipice to be on, because nobody ever wants these dudes to fall to day three as far as their picks and their Dynasty leagues. And in round one or round two of the rookie drafts, you generally want that day two capital. But I think he could get that day two capital with a good showing in these things. I like him. I already know that I'm going to have a hard time deciding if I like him better than Ricky Pearsall. But I know I like – there's like – as I looked at the list here, I'm not sure if I like him. I'm not sure who I like more between Malachi Corley. After we get through the, you know, of the guys that we've done, after we get through Brendan Rice from USC, Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, Jacob Cowing from Arizona, I feel like this dude is on a plane with Malachi Corley and Ricky Pearsall, where I'm going to have trouble with those three before I get down next to Johnny Wilson from Florida State. You know, that's kind of where I am. But I definitely going to have him in front of Devontaze Walker, definitely ahead of Jamari Thrash as far as just these initial rankings. So I'm thinking probably, you know, a dude who I would hope could get day two draft capital, because he'd be a player that I would certainly be interested in and think that he's got a lot of upside.
One, just a few thoughts that I had on him that I thought it was great you brought it up was the A-chain thing, because I thought he reminded me a lot of A-chain in the open field, and not because of the speed, but more because of the way he runs and his vision and his bend. But I did one thing I did notice was that his lower half, like his knee area, is a little tighter, which is something I saw in A-chain too, and I was like, it doesn't bend like a normal
You wouldn't call him flexible.
It's a nuanced thing. He's definitely not flexible in the lower half. But again, you've seen him with A-chain, like the north south stuff. That's really.
But he's got really good leg drive, like A-chain, that betrays his actual size, right? But I think his BMI is fine. He's got you talked about Corley being a little slider through his kind of lower half and his haunches. That's not the case with Anaya Smith.
Yeah. They're kind of polar opposites in that, because like I said, I think Ian Smith is a little tighter in the knees, whereas like I mentioned, even with Corley, like it's more like the Tyreek thing where it's more rubbery, the word is flexible, but I like rubbery like in your ligaments and stuff, because that's what Tyreek is to me. But another thing with Smith, and you mentioned getting him on the field and finding a spot for him, is this guy had 100 kick and punt returns in college, 72 carries. So like you mentioned with the running back thing already, he's going to get on the field as a returner day one. He's going to be on all the special team units, 180 receptions. He's a do-it-all guy. Like you mentioned before, he's going to be on the field. And I like that late third, early fourth kind of conversation. The reason I like the Bowden thing, Lynn Bowden Jr. from Kentucky, is he's a guy we literally saw do it all at Kentucky. And he ran for like 1,400 yards that 1 year at Kentucky. I believe he led the SEC that season. But he's a guy now that, you know, yeah, he was on Miami. He was on the Raiders. He was on the Saints this year. Lynn Bowden had 11 catches. He was on the field for 391 snaps this season. And it feels like people probably don't realize that. And Bowden's not great by any means, but he's a guy that, because his special teams usage and because he's a guy that has these abilities to run the ball, receive the ball, return, do all these other things, he's going to be on the field. He's going to get opportunities, unless I guess you're like an Amari Rodgers type. And that's an interesting comp that I do kind of like for Ianis Smith, but I hope there's a few more opportunities for Ianis than there was for Rodgers.
I'm gonna read off a couple guys here just to see what you're to see where you are with them. And since these two players are similar in kind of stature, I think I'm just gonna ask you just how you would rank or how you sort of see them vis-a-vis some of these dudes that we have done, you know, over the course of the last few years. Okay. So just like this is the end part where we just kind of go over this stuff.
Yep.
Okay, so I'll start with last year. How do you compare him to how you compared Ronnie Bell from Michigan?
Are we talking Corley or Ianis Smith?
Both.
Okay. I definitely would take Corley over Ronnie Bell, and pre Senior Bowl I would take Ianis Smith over him as well. Post up should be the same thing. I take them both over Ronnie Bell.
Okay, from 2022. How about Ianis Smith and Malachi Corley vis-a-vis Khalil Shakir?
I would take Corley and then Shakir and then I.E. Smith.
You mentioned this guy already, but I had him marked off as a comp to discuss. Bo Melton.
As a prospect, I'd have Melton ahead of Corley and then ahead of Smith.
From 2021, how do you compare them both to Daz Newsome?
I'd take both these guys over Newsome. Newsome's a lot of stretch in that. He's fine. Gosh, that was another one that didn't hit with Chicago. What's next?
Dimitric Felton.
I love Dimitric Felton. I know you did too, but I'd take Corley over Felton.
You got to take Anaya Smith over Felton.
I think I'd take Anaya Smith over him too.
How about this guy who our number one comp was Golden Tate, Shai Smith?
I take both these guys over Shai Smith, and I like Shai Smith.
I mean, okay. Omari Rogers. I'm not going to lie. I probably would take – at the time, if I'm going on the pre-draft stuff, I'd probably take Omari Rogers. Omari was a miss for me. He was my number eight receiver in the 2021 class. I mean, I had him over I guess I didn't have him over any. I had him over Nico Collins, which looking back is terrible, but not.
I don't think I had him. I don't think I had him in the top 10. I remember he was 23 and a half or something when he came out. Him and Smith would be close. Corley, I'd have ahead of him. Him and Smith would be really close.
So you like Corley better than Anaya Smith? Clearly.
Yeah, I got Corley ahead of him. He's a year younger. Broke out the same age. He's going to run a 10th faster. I just like everything that Corley brings to the table. I think that there's a lot of questions downfield and stuff with him, but and I like having him of the guys we've done so far, having him four behind Cowing, Leggett, and Rice. I don't think he's going to end up being a top 10 guy, just knowing what the rest of his class looks like. But I think putting him here is a very respectable spot. I tweeted this out there a day also that. There's of what I've seen a receiver so far this year, man, there's going to be the wide receiver 17. You're going to be like, oh, man, how can I get this guy up to like 10, 12, 10, 11, 12?
Yeah,
like, this class is very nice.
Yep. Okay. So three more from 2020. How about versus Devin Duvernay?
I would have had Duvernay ahead of both these guys. That was a miss for me.
Lynn Bowden Jr. I mean, who was your comp?
Yeah. Yeah. I would have had Bowden ahead of Ianis Smith. I would have probably had Bowden ahead of Corley too.
And then this is a, I mean, I know what you're going to say who you had, but looking back, this comp looks dead on to me. Jalen Reagor, 4.47, 5'10, 206 pounds.
I was not a Reagor guy at all, but, what we saw coming out of TCU, with his downfield ability, his strength at the catch point, his strength with the football in his hands, period. Rager's a good
comp for these guys.
I would have had Reagor ahead of both these guys, and I was not a Reagor fan at all. But, that's a good question.